What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey everyone, it's Lindsay Rhodes, and I've got a new podcast, The NFL Road Show. Fun and kind of nerdy conversation about the NFL every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I've got some amazing guests that are joining me. I'll be breaking the huddle with the top stories, previewing games. We'll get you set for the weekend fantasy with our Fantasy Friday episodes, and we'll answer some of your questions as well. So subscribe to the NFL Road Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, guys? Welcome to this podcast. My name is Salman Ali, at Salman Ali NBA on Twitter. Here joined by Alikhan Bajani of The Athletic, at Rockets underscore Insider. How you doing, man?
Good, Salman. How are you?
I'm doing all right. So last week, we got into a Harden discussion with Jonathan Fagan, the Houston Chronicle, and I thought that would be the end of it. And, you know, we wouldn't have to talk about it again until he actually got traded. And of course, I was wrong. Of course, I was being naive. Tim McMahon of ESPN drops this massive James Harden column where he talks about the level of control Harden inflicted on the franchise. He talks about how Harden would often stay in particular cities an extra day so he could do his extracurricular activities, how the Rockets' practice schedule became flexible to Harden's desire, and that became the news item, right? Because it was juicy. But I think if you followed the team closely over the past few years, as you and I have, none of that was particularly surprising. And I was pretty vocal about how I didn't care about Harden's extracurricular activities. That doesn't particularly concern me. I think the most damning thing from that piece is Tim reports that Harden leveraged his power to get Westbrook traded to Houston and went as far as demanding to be traded if it didn't happen. I think that's about as damning as it can get. What'd you take away from that article?
Yeah, so that point is very interesting because I when the trade first occurred on July 11th of 2019, I reported myself that Harden had spoken with the front office in the offseason and asked, you know, for Russell Westbrook to become his teammate again. I at that point in time, I did not know that you know, he even asked himself that, hey, if you don't bring in Russ, I want to be traded myself. So that was very interesting because it was out of that he wanted to play with Russell Westbrook again, especially after the playoffs. But to hear the fact that he even threatened by saying, hey, if you don't even trade for Russ, I'm out of here. That's really damning. I agree with you.
By the way, it was very clear where these leaks were coming from. But that's a separate discussion. What matters is this stuff is all true. And the Westbrook piece tells us that Harden has been dissatisfied with the franchise for over a year now.
You know, one thing, someone I also want to make sure that people understand is that some of the stuff that was in that piece, it's in that piece and it's released for a reason. But it's not all too different from what other players do around the league as well. Now, they're not in a public trade negotiation as James Harden is with the Houston Rockets franchise right now. But that being said, other players also do these similar things where they have the power, they have the authority. They have the ability to kind of make an impact on the organization and kind of do things the way they want to do. It always comes down to making sure your star player is happy. It's not just about what you do off the court, but it's also what you do on the court. Whatever the star player's preferences, that's what the coaching staff is going to tailor towards doing. So all that we saw in this whole James Harden piece, it's not surprising for you and I because we see it on a daily basis. But it's also important to understand this is not entirely too different from what happens around the league as well.
Yeah, and I think if you're an organization, that's your job. Your job is to keep the superstar player happy, especially if that player is someone of Harden's caliber. So, you know, if you have to reschedule a practice every now and then, yeah, it might be a little annoying, but it's something you got to do. It's like something you charge to the game, right? It's like it's the cost of doing business, and I don't think that's that big of a deal. I think the Westbrook piece is really where it's like, okay, like this is something else entirely. What's fascinating is the next day, there's just this massive news dump on the Harden front where Shams and Waj are reporting that Ben Simmons has become available in trade talks, and that Houston has expanded trade talks beyond Harden's preferences, and that teams were becoming more and more comfortable with the idea of trading for Harden. It's pretty clear with it where these leaks were coming from as well. And I know there's this conspiracy theory that perhaps is coming from Clutch Sports, but really, Houston has the most to gain from putting this stuff out there, and then Daryl Morey decides to throw his hat in the ring of the posturing ring by declaring that Ben Simmons was not, in fact, on the table. And obviously, nobody in the media believes him. Daryl famously said that he was 100% not going to trade Chris Paul last summer, and obviously, we know what ended up happening.
That was a week before it happened, by the way. That was a week before the Chris Paul trade. He came out and said that. So, yes, I agree. We don't believe it.
Yeah, all of this stuff is very amusing, and honestly, I didn't extract much value from it. I feel like I didn't learn anything. Like, I've always suspected that more teams were interested in trading for Harden than that was being speculated in the media. Like, he's one of the 30 greatest players of all time. There's going to be interest there. It just felt like a full hour of posturing. Like, did you feel like you learned anything there?
No, I didn't, and I completely agree with you. I think when it comes down to it, fans have to understand that these are lawyers. These are people who are trained professionals at leveraging and creating leverage for themselves and against others. And this is, that's all it was. It was all games against each other to make sure that the narrative existed and that people around the league, even if they were involved in trades or not, knew, you know, from a specific narrative what was going on. And I think for those sides, they did accomplish that goal. For people like ourselves who understand where these are coming from, they didn't accomplish a goal. We didn't really learn anything. But I think they did make an impact, especially in the public, when it comes to perception about Harden and the trade.
Right. Like, that initial Tim article was very tailored to driving down Harden's value. And the leaks the next day were, like, a rebuttal, essentially. And so what I wanted to do today is talk about basketball. Because I feel like I haven't been able to do that for a while. Because I've been on Harden watch for the past 3 weeks. And the Rockets play their first game in 2 weeks, and I've waited until the last second to record this podcast, and I can't wait any longer. And you know what we're going to do today? We're going to do this podcast as if the roster that's here will be the roster that's there at the end of the season. Because look, I can't predict the future. Elikon, I don't think you can predict the future. Wow. We can only make guesses. My best guess is Harden gets ready before the trade deadline, but I can't predict that for sure, nor can I predict what the return will be. So we're going to do this entire podcast with no assumptions made. The roster is the roster. Let's talk about what this team could be. Are you cool with that?
Yeah, I'm down with that. I mean, you said trade deadline. I still think he stays through the whole season. So let's see what happens.
Right. I mean, there's a bunch of predictions out there. So
yeah,
everywhere you look, it's doom and gloom for the Rockets this season, right? Like, I've seen several predictions that the Rockets that have the Rockets missing the playoffs at this point. Even locally, the fan base seems to be a bit down on the team. And I actually, for the first time since the Ty Lawson trade, where I very stupidly predicted that the Rockets would win the championship that season, I think I'm actually higher on the Rockets than most people, including the fans here locally. Alikon, after the second preseason game, I texted you, and this is before Christian Wood's debut, "This roster is very good. If Harden is engaged, this could be one of the best teams in the Western Conference." And I'm just going to read to you what you texted back.
Okay.
Like, you said, "What?" And that's in all caps, by the way. And then you said, quote, "I'm not sold yet." And so, and I was just confused because I hate being Mr. Pom-Poms with the Rockets because that's not naturally what I do. So, but objectively, when you look at the roster, all their bets are paying off. John Wall looks really good and engaged defensively. DeMarcus Cousins seems to have revived his career with three-point shooting. Okay. David Nwaba looks good coming off the Achilles. Christian Wood, and I know it's only been one game, but he looks like a stud. And probably most importantly, James Harden looks engaged. He doesn't look like he's pouting or slumping his shoulders or not trying on defense. Now, obviously, this trade thing is going to hang over the entire season, and we're going to keep asking them questions about it until it goes away. But here's the thing. I actually think they've done a pretty good job insulating themselves on that front. Like, I don't think it's seeping into the locker room. So tell me why I'm wrong, Alikon. Tell me why you're not sold yet. Why can't this team be really good this year?
I my cop-out answer, Solomon, is going to be I just don't know how this season's going to go with all the James Harden stuff going on. But I will say I have been very impressed with the leadership of DeMarcus Cousins and John Wall and PG Tucker, for the matter, when it comes to this whole thing. They're being engaged in the locker room. They're establishing a new culture and identity within the team. Peter has even discussed his role and how important he takes it to be a role model. He's becoming a role model for not only Jayshon Tate, but for Christian Wood, the same way DeMarcus Cousins has been. John Wall has really taken these guys under their wings as well. He's been very vocal in practice. Silas has been very, very vocal, even telling the media about how vocal John Wall has been. So from a standpoint of culture and what you need to be successful in the NBA when it comes to having that culture, I think the Rockets have really done a great job of establishing that, especially with Silas in his first season. Now, the reason why I texted you "what" in all caps is because I'm still not 100% sold on John Wall, on DeMarcus Cousins, and David Nwaba to be consistent performers for the season. Now, it's not just about the Achilles. It's also because they haven't played five-on-five basketball at a high level, or at least they haven't played a lot of five-on-five basketball for an extended period of time. And you're going to be relying on three of those guys to be part of your top to 8 to 9 contributors every game this season. I still am not sold yet because of that. So as of right now, I reserve the judgment to say, you know what? It's a maybe of how they're good they're going to be. You think they'll be really good. I still have them making the playoffs, but I may not be as high on them as you may be right now.
Here's the thing. By the way, DeMarcus Cousins seems to be like the coolest dude. Like probably the coolest player I've ever interviewed. Like I can see why players around the league like him so much. And you're right about the culture. Like I think it might have actually benefited them to like not have Harden in the locker room those first two or three days, because they developed like their own like separate culture aside from Harden before Harden got integrated into the group. And I think that might have benefited them. And I think Harden is seeing what they have there. And he, you know, I'm not saying that he's being persuaded to stay by any means. I still don't know where he is on that. Only he can tell us where he lands on that. Today he gave his non-answer about was it next question? I think he said next question when he was asked about it. So we won't know whether or not he's being persuaded one way or the other until he says something about it. But by all indications, he still wants to trade. But I don't think it's affecting their culture very much. He still seems to be engaged with the team. You saw it in the preseason games. He's pulling young guys aside. He's teaching them stuff. He's talking to Steven Silas like as if he's a regular basketball coach, not the basketball coach of the team would not like to be on anymore. He's just talking to him like a basketball coach. And if you're a Rockets fan, I think you take that in the positive column.
Yeah, and, you know, one thing, someone that really did stick out to me in the preseason especially, was there was one play early on in that game against San Antonio, the last game of the preseason, where Christian Wood played with James. And Harden attacked off a dribble. He passed the ball to Eric. Eric passed the ball to Christian Wood at the top of the key. And while all that happened, James didn't just stop and wait for a shot attempt. He himself relocated back to the corner. Wood attacked, passed it to Harden. Harden hit three. I mean, that's something, I know it's very small. And he did do that. I don't want to say he never has relocated before. But the fact is that he relocated, he caught the pass, hit the shot, and he dapped up Christian Wood going back down the other end. I mean, those are very small things that are very positive if you're a Rockets fan to see that, hey, this guy, like you said, is staying engaged, number one. Number two, he's building chemistry with the star at the five that you brought in just to play with James and maximize his strengths. And then also, you're establishing culture, and you're hoping that James, somebody who is maybe not seen by others outside the organization as a leader, but at least within the organization, he is seen as a leader. He is one of the three leaders every single season the last few years that's been here. So I think with those positive signs, maybe if, you know, and as like I said, if he stays the whole season, that can be something great, because you have somebody who clearly is, no matter what's going on outside, no matter what's going on in terms of trade rumors, he is engaged. He has bought into what Silas wants to do, and that's a great sign for the Rockets.
I think their offense is going to be awesome. Like, I'm not worried about like the Harden and Wall fit. Like, they have shooting at four positions at all times. Wall's defense is going to complement Harden's a hell of a lot more than Westbrook's defense. I think it's going to benefit him to be more off the ball. I think Wall is a more natural distributor for those second units than Westbrook when Harden sits. And their bench units in general are going to be much more productive than what they were last year. Like Eric Gordon and DeMarcus Cousins are going to help the scoring. Sterling Brown and David Nwaba and Jayshon Tate, who looks like a steal of a pickup, by the way, from Australia, will help their defense. This team just makes sense to me. Like, I don't know how else to put it. Like, last year's team was very confusing, and this one's not. Like, I can see what Rafael Stone was trying to accomplish here.
And you know, one thing that we heard in the introductory press conference with Stone and with Silas was the term optionality or versatility. And we're seeing that there's not just going to be one way to play with this team. This roster has a construct of multiple guys who can play in multiple ways. And just to give you a better example of that, you know, the Rockets are not just playing a switch defense. They're playing drop coverage. They've even ran a little bit of press and high press in transition. And that's because they brought in defenders who are versatile. You have Sterling Brown, who is a great press type of defender and somebody that the coaching staff really wants to work with him on that. You have David Nwaba, who can not only play on the switches, but he's even better at fighting over screen and staying on the hip of the offensive player. You have PJ Tucker, who we already know how great he is defensively, and he can be an excellent help defender, especially at this stage of his career. So in what it comes down to, they just have, like you said, pieces that fit. And I think when you're trying to come up with a team and build chemistry, it's not just about continuity. It's about bringing guys who can complement each other and play to each other's strengths. And I think the way this team is set up to play with multiple options and be able to be versatile, this team has the capability of just really complementing each other on both ends.
And I think you lost some of the redundancy with Westbrook, right? Like, I think there was a redundancy in role with Harden and Westbrook in that they were both scoring guards that were high usage and, you know, wanted to operate in similar roles. And I don't think that exists with John Wall. I think John Wall is very content with being a 10 assists a game kind of guy, right? That's what he's been his entire career. He's been a 20 and 10 guy. He can score, but he's not really, you know, looking to score. He's really looking to pass first. And I think next to Harden, it just makes a lot of sense. That kind of guard makes a lot of sense. And again, like I think offensively, like I think they're going to be one of the best offenses in the NBA. Defensively, they're, you know, Christian Wood is going to be a huge question mark. And I guess we can talk about that right now. Like I think Christian Wood is not like a huge negative defensively, but I, from the few games that I watched this summer of Christian Wood, just to learn how he moves his feet, like he's much more comfortable in switch coverages than drop coverages, which is very different. Like it's like something surprising for a man his size. Normally, you know, like 7-footers are more accustomed to playing a drop coverage than switch coverages. He looks like he's more comfortable playing out on the perimeter and switching type defenses than he is, you know, playing as a traditional rim protector. I don't think, you know, like I think it's a little bit like Clint Capela, where like Clint Capela, it took a while to learn how to play in a drop coverage because he just was not a natural rim protector. I think you might have that. You might have a similar problem here with Christian Wood. And I don't think they're going to switch very much when like DeMarcus Cousins is on the floor. I think they're going to play drop coverage. And I think really what they can be defensively is really what Christian Wood can be defensively. If he can be what Houston wants him to be as a drop coverage kind of guy and someone who can switch, they're in a really positive spot. That's what Clint Capela was in 2018, right? He could do both. If he's struggling to do one of those things, you know, they might be, you know, 15 to 20 defensively. And that's, you know, that's a very good team. You know, you have to have five offense, you know, 15 to 20 in defense, that's going to get you 52 wins. Like that's where I project them being. We're going to talk about that in a minute, but that's not going to get you, you know, high 50s, but perhaps even 60 wins where you're talking title contention.
For me, when it comes to Christian Wood defensively, I think what we're going to really see is a throwback to what we saw last few seasons with Capela and Harden. And, you know, they ran two different types of defenses. They ran a 55 defense and a 54 defense. And for our listeners out there, 55 defense is basically, it's like 5x5. You switch everything. All five positions are switching on the floor at the same time. 54 is a little bit different. And that's something they like to rant, they like to do with James Harden and Clint Capela, where besides Harden and Capela, they would not switch anything else. So what I mean by that is if there was a pick and roll involving Harden's man and Capela's man, that would be the only switch because you can trust James to defend in the post and hold his own against bigger guys. I think that we may see something similar this season with that, where Harden's strengths are to stay in the post no matter what happens, no matter what the coverage is. And I think you're going to have the coaching staff play that type of role where if it's you know, Eric Gordon, or if it's John Wall, they're going to fight over screens because they're very good at kind of staying at the hip of the offensive player. And you're going to have James and maybe Christian Wood just switch because you can trust James to hold his own and also force turnovers and rebound the basketball. And you have Christian Wood, who is great in transition and can leak out as well as a shooter. So I think that's maybe what the happy medium would be for Brooklyn.
2020 has already reshaped how we work, and it's almost over. Businesses across the globe are challenged to be their most efficient, which means every hire is critical. Indeed is here to help. Indeed is the number one job site in the world with more total visits than any other job site, according to ComScore. Indeed helps you find quality candidates quickly so you can focus on hiring the person you need to keep your business going. Unlike other job sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay what you need, you can pause your account at any time, and there is no long-term contracts. And now, Indeed's new way of matching you with the candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria, and you can contact them the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply. Football is back in full swing. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager on than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at BetOnline.ag. That's BetOnline, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And if John Wall is playing the kind of defense he is in preseason throughout the course of the regular season, like that's an entire game changer. Like he is just like in preseason, particularly one-on-one coverages, he's just looked so locked in. And part of this is he's just so happy to play basketball again. You can tell that every single time he's on the floor, he just looks really joyous and happy. And he's trying really hard on that end of the floor, which, you know, with John Wall over the past few years, you know, I'm not sure like, you know, how many people have watched him. Like he's just very inconsistent with his effort on that end of the floor. Like he can be like, you know, 2014-15 where he made all defensive third team, but he can also be like, or all defensive second team, excuse me, but he could also be like 2017-18 where it's like he's a shell of himself. And I think, you know, getting the surgeries, getting the bone spurs out is going to help him. He looks more mobile, looks more aggressive on that end of the floor. He looks like he's playing without reticence, which I think was a big part in why he moved so slowly and, you know, was very cautious of jumping off certain feet. And I think, you know, he was a guy who was like leading the league in blocks, like not, you know, literally leading the league, but he, among guards, he was one of the leaders because he was just meeting guys at the rim and he was just nonstop effort, especially in transition defensively. And if he can become that guy again, or just some semblance of that guy where he's actually trying hard defensively for an entire season, like that's a game changer for them. Just a complete, they have not had that since Chris Paul in 2019.
For me, when it comes to John Wall, it's going to really come down to how he holds up off the ball. You mentioned on the ball, he had a little bit of struggle in the preseason, but that's to be expected with Russ. But for me, it's going to come down to off the ball. And what I mean by that is he's great on the ball, especially at forcing turnovers with his quick hands. But off the ball is where he's going to be targeted. Is he going to be able to be a quick and display lateral quickness with his help defense? Is he going to be able to rotate effectively? With the way the Rockets are going to play, especially in drop coverage, they're going to help off that corner. And sometimes John Wall may be in that corner. Is he going to be able to step up, you know, disrupt a lob? Is he going to be able to step up, take a charge? That's what I'm going to be paying attention to, is how he does, especially on the help side, because teams will definitely pick on him after the injury.
Yeah, and so the Rockets made a pretty big decision today where Steven Silas came out and said publicly that, and I suspect that this has been the case for a while, that Eric Gordon was going to come off the bench and that Daniel House would start. So I asked this question preseason to Ben DuBose when I had him on this podcast, you know, like, and I asked this to Daniel House, you know, like during media day or media week rather. Like, would he be ready for that kind of role? Because that's asking a lot for him defensively. Being a starting caliber small forward is completely different from being an off the bench small forward. That's just asking a lot from you defensively. You're not just like defending like the best perimeter players. You're also doing a lot weak side. You know, you're asked to do a lot of communication too. You know, I think he can be a good defender, right? Like, but I have seen moments where he's just inconsistent and not there, and these are moments when he's thriving offensively. Like, it's not always the case where he's like having an awesome night offensively and he's just thriving defensively. Sometimes those things aren't in unison. I've seen nights where that they're not both on par, and I think if he's ready for that type of role, it's just something to watch, because I don't know if he's ready for that role.
Yeah, you know that, and part of the that's part of the reason why I asked him a few days ago. Like, why did he lose weight? What did he do to his body to kind of put himself in better position to be successful? He mentioned endurance, right? He mentioned that he wants to have better endurance, be able to have better conditioning. But if you look at the weight difference between last year and this year, he's lost 5 pounds. But when you look at him physically, he's a lot more cut. And what I mean by that, he's a lot more.
He looks like Corey Brewer. Like, he looks like Corey Brewer.
He's lost a lot of upper body weight, and you've noticed that, right? Like, he's lost a lot more upper body weight than he did than he had last year. And I think that's really allowed him to play quicker, play faster, be able to, you know, keep that same energy he needs to on both ends. I think we've noticed in the preseason, the way he's been used offensively is not just as a spot up shooter, but attacking in transition, getting back to what he was so good at in the early part of his tenure in Houston, when he had that great stretch as a two-way player. So I think that's what I'm interested in seeing. Is he going to be able to go back that, going back to what he was, but also using this new body that he has of being more lean, being more cut, being able to be faster, have more endurance to be successful.
Yeah, yeah. And I think this role is going to really benefit Eric Gordon. Like, and I talked about last season where I thought it didn't really matter like where Eric Gordon played off the bench or starting, because I thought, you know, at the end of the day, he was going to close games, so it didn't really matter. But it really did seem to hurt him offensively that there wasn't a consistency there. And this is something he talked about today in pressers today. Like, it seems like he's always just wanted consistency. Like, just tell me what I'm going to do. Am I going to come off the bench this season, or am I going to start? Because he's never had that since 2018, right? That year the Rockets made the Western Conference Finals, where like it's a very clear and definite role what he's doing on both ends of the floor. When he's starting, he's doing a lot more off-ball stuff and catching and shooting, and defensively he's guarding the best assignment. When he's coming off the bench, he's asked to do more stuff offensively and you know, dribbling, you know, bring the ball up a little bit more and pull up threes, which I think he's actually better at than catch and shoot threes, which is surprising, but it's been consistent throughout his career. So like, I actually think this will benefit him offensively. Defensively, I think he'll be fine, but offensively, this was reported during the off season, you know, and he got made fun of for this because he just didn't have a great season. But like, I do believe that players just want to know what they're going to do more first and foremost. Like, they don't really care as long as they're getting their minutes. I don't think they care whether that's starting or coming off the bench. I think players nowadays are smart enough to know you can come off the bench and still close games. And I think that's going to be the case with Eric Gordon. But I think what players want more than anything nowadays is just tell me what I'm going to do. I want a defined role. And I think this is going to help him a lot.
Yeah, and one additional point I want to make on Eric Gordon is that, you know, let's look at him defensively. I think you mentioned that he's going to have more of a role on the offensive and as a bench player and running the second unit. But defensively, I argue that after the loss of Trevor Ariza in the last two seasons, he was their best point of attack defender besides PG Tucker. And that put a lot of stress on him, especially with his load offensively. I think that really did affect his shot. Defensively, he's still Eric Gordon, but I think offensively it did affect his shot, especially with the inconsistencies on his role. But I think now when you allow him to have more of a role offensively, and then also at the end, close games, it's going to help him not only look great defensively because we know he can, but it's going to allow him to be more fresh because he's going to be a lot more engaged, a lot more empowered to be successful as well on both ends. Players don't say it. Players may not even recognize it. But when they're more committed and more involved offensively within the offense and how the movement is going on and the ball movement and everything, which Eric Gordon has been a big proponent of since his 10 years began here in Houston, I really do think players are more successful. I mean, I think Eric will be a lot more successful defensively just because of how the offense is moving, how he's going to be a lot more more of a focal point, and it's going to allow him to stay engaged and be more disruptive defensively.
And perhaps the most important element of all this is, like, he's coming into the season healthy, right? Like, yes. he doesn't have like fluid in his knees, and he doesn't have to get that drained midseason like he did last year, right? And I think we're not going to get like a random press conference from Mike D'Antoni telling us, "Oh, Eric Gordon just got his knee drained; he's going to be out for 8 weeks." Like, what? Like, that was just the most surprising media availability I've ever been in. Like we were just sitting around, and Mike D'Antoni comes back, and he's like, "Oh, by the way, Eric Gordon's going to be out for 8 weeks." Like, oh, hold on, like, give me 5 seconds here. You're telling me your third most important player is just going to be out. She's going to be gone for 2 months, and you know, we should just absorb that and not even ask questions about it. It was just a very strange availability.
But so yes. I do have a question for you, though. You mentioned he was the third most important player. Who are the three most important players on this current Rockets team right now?
I'm guessing the three most important players are obviously Harden, Wall, and I think it's Christian Wood this year. I think Christian Wood is like, if he plays like that, I don't expect him to have 27 and 10 every night, obviously, but if he's like an 18 and 10 guy consistently, like, he's just automatically one of the three most important players on this team. I don't care what he is defensively. I don't care. Like, he's just that good. If he's just that good, yeah. He's one of the three most important players on this team. And what he can do offensively as far as floor spacing just changes the complete dynamics of this team. Like, what you can do from like a pick and pop level, like, they're running more pick and pops than they ever have with both of their units. And DeMarcus Cousins, by the way, just his shot is so smooth and so pretty. Like, it's like, and I asked him about this today, like, it's just because I was just so curious, like, is this something he's always been able to do? And he's always been able to shoot threes. It's like the modern NBA is just playing into that, and he's just shooting more of them now. And he looks like such a natural in that role. But anyways, yes, they're running a lot more pick and pops now, and offensively. And if they're going to continue to emphasize him the way they have, if he's just shooting over guys, and if he's just finishing around the rim with this level of touch, by the way, like, people were talking about the floor spacing as if that was the most surprising element of his game. For me, it was the touch. Like, his finishing around the rim, like, he was finishing from all sorts of angles in that preseason game. And
he's taking contact and finishing soft around the rim. That's the key. Taking contact and finishing.
Right, and I watched Christian Wood before. It's not my first Christian Wood game before. I feel like he's gotten better in that department, just finishing at that level. Whatever. I mean, like, yeah, I think he's probably the third guy. I think they've gotten better from what they were last year, like, just offensively. Like, and I guess we'll talk about that now. I think they're going to be a top five offense this year. I really do, and that's what's really driving my Rockets optimism right now. Like, I think they're going to be a top five offense and probably a middle of the pack defense. And if that's the case, they're going to be a 52 win team. And that's kind of where I have them finishing. I guess I can ask you now, like, where do you have them finishing both in offense and defense, and how many wins? And for the purposes of this podcast, we're going to use an 82 game scale because it's just hard to do the math in real time.
Yeah. So in terms of offense, I think they'll definitely have a top five offense. I would venture, if James stays this whole season here and everybody stays healthy, they'll have a top three offense. Defensively, here's how I'm gonna say it. I agree with you, they're gonna be middle of the pack. I think they're gonna finish around 15th like they did last year. Now, that's not because they won't improve defensively. I think early on, just because of how the training camp worked for a lot of teams and just the lack of continuity here, they're going to struggle. But it's not going to be due to lack of effort or problems with scheme. I think it's just going to be the fact that they don't have continuity. I think once we get past and get to the second half of the season and the schedule, I think at that point in time, they'll have a top 10 defense. They may not finish in terms of overall season ranking in the top 10, but I think once you get to that second half of the season, they will finish with a top 10 defensive ranking.
So you're saying they start off like 20 and then they end the season like 10, and then it averages out to like 15.
Yes.
Hold on. Because we just started this podcast talking about how you were way down on the Rockets, and it sounds like I've sold you. It's because you're talking about them being top three, not even top five. I was saying top five. You're saying top three in offense, middle of the pack in defense. That's a 50-win team, guy. Like, my guy. Like, that's just the history of the NBA suggests that that's a 50-win team. So I what are you saying? Are you just saying that they're going to how are they losing these games then?
I think when it comes down to it, and you know, the more I talk to you, the more I'm thinking about it, the key difference between Silas's Dallas teams and Silas's Houston team, I think, before even the season starts, is that the Dallas team struggled late in games because Luka, as good as he is, he's still not at that level yet in isolation. And now that you have James, right, you have players around him who can be successful, I think this Rockets team just takes that Mavericks team, Mavericks offense, and elevates it even more because you have the ability to isolate you, the best player in lead isolation, and let him get to the spot he wants to. And now you can't double, you can't trap, you can't do anything that takes the ball out of his hands without being punished with a wide open three from a pretty good shooter on the floor. I'm not going to surround him with.
And so a good three-point shooter who can close out on shooters. Yes. Like Christian Wood can close out and finish at the rim.
Yes. And so with that being said, I think I always knew there would be a top 3 to 5 offense. For me, it was all about defensively. The more I'm thinking about it, the fact that they're going to have a lot more point of attack defenders than they did last year, when you include Sterling Brown with how much they want to do press, when you include David Nwaba, when you include PJ Tucker, you have Eric Gordon, you have John Wall, who you've mentioned. I haven't seen it just yet, but I don't discount your eyes. He's probably playing great defensively on the ball as well. I think when you look at the point of attack and what they want to do defensively with drop coverage in a mixture of schemes with press, trapping, hedging, and switching, this team can be good when they mix everything up. So I think if the way the projection goes on, they will start the season poor defensively, but as they get more continuity and chemistry, they can vault into that top 10 conversation as they head towards the playoffs. Now, the reason why I said what is because even with all this said, and you said the historical context, I don't know if they're better than at least 5 teams in the Western Conference.
So you're saying that they're going to be a top 3 offense and a middle of the pack defense. You said 15th, and they're still not going to win 50 games because the top 5 teams in the Western Conference are going to win 50 games. I mean, the top half of the Western Conference is going to win 50 games. Beyond that, there's going to be a bit of a drop off. So I'm confused. Like, you're not lining up here, Leekon. Like, you're really not. It's not making any sense. We're not on the same wavelength right now. Bring me in, reel me in. Explain this to me.
So I'm gonna really use the 2019-2020 regular season stuff. So when we look at, for example, the Dallas Mavericks, okay, they had obviously the best offense in the league. They didn't have that bad of a defense. I mean, it was okay. They had a different point differential of almost 5. The Rockets had a point differential of 3. With that said, the Rockets finished 44-28 and were on pace to win 50. Dallas was not going to win 50, but they were going to get like high 40s.
Okay.
I think a high 40 win team for the Rockets is very possible.
So you think they're going to underperform their point differential, basically? Because that's what
Dallas. Mavericks or the Rockets?
The Rockets, because that's what the Mavericks did last year. They underperformed their point differential. Like, they should have been one of the best teams in the Western Conference, but they underperformed because they weren't good in close game situations. So you think they're going to be bad in close game situations?
I wouldn't. No, I'm not saying close game situations. I'm just saying I just think that very similarly.
Wait,
I think
hold on, man. So where are they losing these games? If they're not losing these games with their offense, they're not losing these games with their defense. They're not losing these games in close game situations. Where the hell are they losing these games?
I'm just saying, man. It's a prediction. All right. No, I'm just saying. I think they finish 6th in the West.
I'm just saying, okay, well, listen, like, this is a podcast with logic and facts and numbers. We like using those and film, you know, occasionally. We like using that stuff on this podcast. Like, I'm just saying stuff isn't going to fly. We're going to need more than that. I'm going to let you go for right now because it seems like you don't really know where you stand on the Rockets. I'm going to let you figure that stuff out. I feel like I'm pretty high on this team and I'm open about it. I think I'm higher than the general public. I'm okay with that because I'm just looking at what I've seen with my eyes. Their bets are paying off. And I think if your concern is like, oh, they're not going to be healthy, well, then they're going to lose some offensively, right? Then they're going to lose some defensively. And then you can talk about them being like 6th or 7th in the Western Conference. But You know, you didn't say that. So we're just going to take you for what you said, which was a whole lot of nothing. I think I think they're going to be very good this year. And the biggest caveat, you know, behind this entire podcast is we don't know what's going to happen with James Harden. We don't know if he's going to get traded tomorrow. Yes. We don't know if he's going to get traded at the deadline. We don't know if he's going to get traded in a month from now. So we're just going to assume for this podcast that the talent that they have is the talent that they have, because we can't predict the future.
Where do you think they finish in the Western Conference?
Third or fourth.
Okay, so I'm around 5 or 6. We're not way too far off here.
Yeah, but you're saying they're going to win like 40-something games.
Yeah, what's the problem with that, man? We're talking about 72-game season.
No, stop. That's not what you were saying. That's not what you were saying. What you were saying in that respect was like on an 82-game scale, where you're not gonna trick me, all right? I know what you said.
Yeah, I know. But look. Here's my logic. One more time. Here's my logic. What I think when it comes down to it, they're going to struggle a little bit early on, okay? And then they're going to finish off the season strong. And with that being said, they can get up to 5. Who knows? They could probably as high as 3 or 4, as you're saying. But I think a happy medium in terms of what I'm thinking and what's going to happen is a 5 or a 6 seed. I don't know the record. I don't know historical context. Just what I'm feeling is a 5 or a 6 seed right now.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying your gut has something going on with it. Like you got to get that checked out. Go to a doctor. You know, maybe take some Pepto-Bismol. I don't know what's going on. I think the Lakers are better than them. I think the Clippers are better than them. I think the Nuggets are better than them. And after that, I think the Mavericks could be better than them. And I'm not sure. I'm going to assume Houston is going to be better than them. I guess that's that's my bold prediction. I think the Rockets will be better than the Mavericks. And I think they probably land in that fourth area.
You think Portland's better than Houston or no?
I think Houston's better than Portland, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm at. When I say 5th and 6th seed for me, right? That when I say 5th or 6th seed for me, I think the Lakers, Clippers, Nuggets, and Mavericks are better than the Rockets right now. And then for me, it's going to come down to, are they better than Portland or are they not better than Portland?
Yeah, like I don't understand the hype around Portland this season. Okay, so the Robert Covington addition was good. The Enes Kanter addition was good, but that just makes them marginally better, right? Like, fundamentally, the core pieces are still the same. You know, it's Yusuf Nurkic, it's Damian Lillard, it's CJ McCollum. Very good team. They're probably not going to be a home court advantage team this year. At least that's what I'm suspecting. I just defensively, like, Nurkic is going to help them. Having Nurkic for a full season will help, for sure, right?
Yes.
That's going to help. Having Covington this year is going to help. Fundamentally, they just will never have enough point of attack defenders with CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard. That's where this whole thing always breaks down with the Blazers, right? Every single year people talk themselves into the Blazers, and every single year they have the same problem. They just don't have enough good point of attack defenders. And Robert Covington, as good as he is off the ball, he is not a good enough point of attack defender to make up for all of that. He is he's a really great help defender. He's not going to be someone dependable to put on Chris Paul in a playoff series, right? Like,
he is a very elite help defender. You're absolutely right there. But I do think that's going to help them, though, because they do struggle at that point of attack, and having a good help defender there, if they use him properly, could really mask some of the weaknesses that they have, right? But that comes down to the question for me, right? Are they good enough at that point to be the 5th seed over the Rockets? I don't know. I'm still going to put them, I think for me, it's still going to be 5th or 6th seed for the Rockets.
I listen, like, if you had said this without saying that they were going to be top three in offense, not even top five. Again, you were higher on their offense than I was. If you had said this without saying that, and then saying they're going to be 15th in defense, like, I would let you off the hook. That to me is where the cognitive dissonance is, right? Like, that's where the point of separation is. All right. Well, listen, I get where you ultimately end up. You think they're going to be a 45-ish win team. You think they're going to be 5th or 6th in the Western Conference. I don't know where you land on the offense and the defense. I'm just going to assume you meant something else other than what you said. But we have run out of time. Alikon, do you have anything coming up that you want to plug?
Yeah. So you can follow me on Twitter, @Rockets_Insider. You can also follow my work at The Athletic. I have a really, really nice breakdown coming for you guys before the start of the season. I hope you guys enjoyed. More to come there and on Rocket's Film Room on YouTube.
Make sure to follow him on Twitter. Make sure to read all his stuff at The Athletic. Subscribe to The Athletic. And yeah, guys, subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. Give us 5 stars because it helps people find the podcast. And yeah, guys, good night.